Welcome to Unfrozen. I'm Dan Safarik.
And I'm Greg Lindsay. And our guests this week are Sean Moe and Hengi Kang, the founders of And More Partners, who are bringing back to the podcast one of the themes that Dan and I have talked about in the past, which is the idea of architect as developer, developing, I don't know, so to speak, one of Dan's particular obsessions here around the notion that, you know, the whole client model of architecture, where, of course, deep-pocketed money hires architects purely to do design, is there another way possible? And it's great to have Hagee and Sean on here today to talk about the fact that, yes, they are sort of pursuing that model in the vein of a John Portman and some of the other folks we've had on here in the past to talk about this, to sort of think about, like, how do we gain a measure of independence for architects and to initiate their own projects and carry forward? And so, Hagee and Sean, it's great to have you both on. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, this is Hengi.
Thank you for having us there. I'm Sean and And More Partners.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you both. I mean, let's get into it. I mean, obviously, talk a bit about sort of how And More came to be. The first question I'd love to ask is sort of your origin story. You guys have worked with Erica and Moss and others, and I'd be curious about how the two of you came to start the firm. And, you know, did you settle on this developer model from the very beginning? Is that the genesis of And More?
Yeah, right. We started the office 9 years ago. Sean and I, we also graduated at SciArc. We are alumni of SciArc. I graduated a few years earlier and started working. And I met him at the alumni meeting, job crew, and then introducing our company. And then we start to expose ourselves. And then he can luckily join our the firm, which is in at GMP and located in Santa Monica. So we start working together and then we build a relationship and then we can get close. And then a family member also get a friend, and then Sean Moe is moving to nearby our apartment complex. So our family member is also get know each other. So we build it up the friendship for many years. And then we discuss a lot how we're going to process our future and then dealing with it. So we decide to open our firm office. But when you decide to open our own practice, we don't want a little bit of a different approach, which is development side is also our part of the DNA for the practicing in the architecture. The reason for that is we also know the full spectrum of the development of the architecture process, not only focusing on the architecture part, it also developer side, understanding how the project is going in. So that's what we try to make. One side is developer part and other side is architect part. So try to make a balancing between it is really important because we know what's going on at the developer side, and then we took ourselves as a developer, and then it become a better service for the architect, and then a better understanding for the whole spectrum of the project, because we can carry over the after the completion of the project, because there's a whole other story to how to manage the project. Is also part of the big success of the project. So we start from there to begin with the two things to become a good architect, as a developer, as a tool. And also it's lots of things we can learn from that aspect.
Yeah, he said really nice way. Really nice way. So I think at the beginning, we, as Hengi said, we worked for a really big company. Even Hengi worked for Erica Moore. After he worked at Erica Moss, and both of us worked for a really big architect company. Their client is the most huge developer, Southern California, even for me, mean the outside of America. The thing is, we love what I'm doing, and then we clearly see potential of the housing market in Los Angeles. So when you start our business, we want to explore what we did instead of doing small project. I think a small project, we can do later, but I think we want to start carry on what we learn. And so we, but the thing is, nobody can give a project. So I talked about that kind of a potential housing market with a friend, with a beer, And luckily, some of the friends in the medical field, I mean, one of them is doctor, one of them is dentist, they started believing us there. So we decided to put the small money for me. For me, I sold my small townhouse project, townhouse residence to put the money on there. So first year, Hegi and I, we didn't have any project at all. So I think 1 year later, Hegi and I thought that, you know what? We have to spread our resume to get a job. So, that is how we started. The thing is, in the big office, if you're really into the kind of good at design, you don't know what's going on in the during construction, what is the manner of the leasing. You have to always listen. You have to listen the big guy's opinion, which means if you work the big developer, there is lots of a different arm. For example, leasing director, I mean architecture director, finance director. So there is no way to express your opinion. You cannot say how live. I mean, how about something like that? So you always listen from others, and then you can. I felt like just during school, you have a lot of ambition. Being good architect, think about that. But one day I realized that I'm part of a small, the capitalism. I don't know what is the sense for. So that is a thing we want to do everything by ourselves. And then maybe if it doesn't work, maybe you can find job easily. So that is how we start that.
Do you have, I assume that with you know, putting capital at risk, you know, a larger, you know, sort of institutional investor or a traditional developer will have, you know, contingency funds or something like that in case the project starts going over budget or over time. How did you account for things like that? And are they different for different scales of projects? Like, I know you do multifamily housing and other things.
Yeah, Daniel, I think that's a really great question because, you know, so I know that the most developer in Los Angeles, especially multifamily housing developer, there is, I think, two kinds. One is a family-oriented business, I mean, family-to-family business, and or they rely on really huge private fund. But we are not. So we, as I mentioned at the beginning, there is three more equity partner. So we put the small money on there. Also, Hegi and I decide we want to go right away. Instead of rely on any hard money, we want to learn whole the process because the whole purpose of this, I want to guide the client if we have any client later on there, and we want to learn what's doing that. And also, we put the older money with our close friends capital as well. We need really right away instead of following hard money because I learned lesson during 2008 while working at another company. I mean, during day, there is many the client for my previous office went bankruptcy. I realized that they're high risk. I mean, if you lose revenues a lot, you could definitely, there is a great award if you're going well. But one day, you're going to lose everything. So we decided to really conservative way, and we knocked the door every single of a bank, and we spent almost 10 months to get loan process because they keep asking, how can we believe your risk management? Because you just started your own business, and then you don't have any rich father, so... How can believe us there? So we really made an amazing story to get a loan because we reject from so many banks except hard money. But I don't want to do any hard money. So luckily, and also, even though banks say, okay, the thing is we cannot hire good GC to support the project because bank also reviewing the GC's qualification, that kind of thing. So we really, instead of maximize the level, we try to really, our capital portion. So that is how we start there. And then, Hegi and I, we designed, first project Hegi designed that, the Mariposa apartment. So he did a tremendous job because whenever he showed that, no, this is too expensive, to blah, 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 we did a lot of back and forth to check it out, to find the kind of appropriate balance, what is a good thing to make us a stable management in terms of the finance.
And I want to add it on that. The structure we are having is very unique because of, we try to have, we have an investor, and then some people has more money to invest in it, but we have a limit, 300,000 at from the beginning, because some people like us and trust us, and we really appreciate it, but we limit the number, because even though they can put the bigger number to the investment, but he can, who knows, something happened, then he can withdraw it. But that's just something money we can managing it. So all the other member doesn't need to be sell or to redistribute all the ratio. We don't need to doing it, because if Sean and I can take care of the money, so we limit the number and then make that kind of the investors and more secure for the investment. So right now something happened. So one time is something happened, so someone tried to sell it, but in ourselves we can swallow his portion. So other person is make more secure for the process, and nothing, something happened. So that is really great things with what we did, because risk management, how to deal with it, even though you can get the more money to investing it, we have the certain money to deal with it. So we can keep on safe, the more solid the financial background for the investor.
Hiki made a good comment. I think that kind of a thing, right now we have 12 equity investor, I mean equity partner, to put the money on there. Because at the beginning, I mean, the friends who went SIAC together, they don't believe us. They look really weird. What I do with this? I mean, I'm crazy, something like that. But once the first process is done, again, we didn't ask to put their money, but suddenly we got the many phone call. Can I put in money on there? Last year, even my structure engineer suddenly called me. Can I put in money on your process? Because I keep looking at that. So thing is, right now you have a 12 investor, but still we keep the same philosophy. There is a limitation, and then we always keep the strong reserve manage risk. That is the really important thing. So, well, the first project we supposed to start the construction last year, but we didn't do that, and we pay up all the loan, and then we keep the another allowance in the CD market at this point to postpone the construction schedule, maybe end of this year, something like that. So we are not. There is a certain protection against the economic, the uncertain situation.
I was going to ask you, as well as if you self-performed contracting work, but it sounds like you do actually hire out GCs.
Yes, we, Hegi and I, we thought about that we can be GC, because many our friends who went SIA, some of them, they became GC, but we realized that that's too risky. And the thing is, if you're doing GC by yourself, thing is, maybe this is not good for client, but I mean, as an architect, because we exclusively working on the one GC. No, I think that is not good. It can be design build. So maybe not. So we decide to step back from the building as a GC. So we only doing architect job, but during construction, we manage all the construction administration and the kind of change order issue. Yeah.
If you think about only the financial side, it might be more better to have to be a GC and the construction things. And also there's some risky, but we can make more money. But we decide to more focusing on the design. And all the purpose for our practice and the experience want us to be a big, good designer or good architect and try to give a good service to the client. That is all our purpose.
also, I think another unique policy of our own development, every project, we take a turn for design. For first project, Hegi did the second project, I did the design. So each of us can be controlled their design and then budget issue. So it'd be great to have both sides for each project. So every, we take a turn to revenge each other.
But I want to come back to your comment there about sort of colleagues' reactions to this, because I remember, you know, I want to ask about sort of how you feel you're perceived by your peers and also in education, how it plays out. Because when Joel Gorella wrote 30 years ago about John Portman, you know, he described the fact that Portman was sort of seen as like an apostate inside the architectural academy. And it feels like that hasn't changed much, that like other architects look at the notion of becoming their own developers as some sort of heresy. I'm curious about what reactions have been and how you sort of relate to yourself in the field compared to conventional architects who are out there hand to mouth, always hustling for clients. How has it changed your perception of yourself, of your practice, and of the profession as you sort of extend these capabilities and take on this risk and really start to see yourselves as a much more, I don't know, vertically integrated enterprise, I guess?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think, as I mentioned, people, this show with you guys, I think it gives us strong leadership, because once we show our successful development story to our client, we can persuade our design to them as a strong leadership. For example, Los Angeles, there are lots of homeless issue, vandalism issue, so many apartment developer, they want to secure their property with a really high, tall, really ugly wall in front of the street. I think it's getting worse and worse. So we did a different way. The thing is, our own development, we cannot afford to have a manager on the side, because most of them is 7 to around 10, something like that. So thing is, we try to make really make that place secure. So instead of doing high fence, we really roll the wall and they put the beautiful landscape, and we spend lots of time to design nice gate, and then we put the unit on it. So amazingly, we didn't have any single vandalism issue over there, and still maintenance looks really great. So they start building, said, you know what, we don't need to do something like that way. You can roll wall. This matter how to control the design. Also, if you provoke a tenant to nice walking around, everyone can be watched though. So it is a starting point of making good neighbor. Without showing that, nobody believe us there. So we always show our project to the client. They started building upstairs. And then also our older unit is different. So they, instead of asking us just 2 bedrooms, something like that, they always asking us what kind of design should it be. And then also another different part of our development, we don't sell after development. Because we, every contract with our equity partner, there is a 7-year minimum commitment, which means this development, this we don't want to exit right away. We want to see what's going on. Actually, every year we try to meet the tenant and then check it out, the management issue, which means it give a lot of lesson being a good architect. So we can answer to our client, what kind of boiler system should have there? What is the management issue? So we can answer, and it become strong design leadership. So I think that is a amazing part of our development.
On top of that, the most of the but 30% is our investor is our colleague from the SIARC. They also practiced more than 10 years like us, but they always want to be a developer, not one, only this one. It's, okay, let's phrase again. They have an interest to the development, and because that may have a more profit, it's a constant income later on. But they don't know how to start. And we can, it's the same thing for us. We don't know how to start because in a school, they never teach us. But there's nothing to teaching us the design and the financing developer together. So that's why we make a unique position right now to make a design, what you invest the money in your design to make a good project, and then good layout of the, and then what kind of material you emphasizing. You cannot put the, all the good material or fancy stuff in an apartment, but effectively how you're using it and design-wise, how you effectively, efficiently using it. And also that is important in the developer side. But so this one is also numbers of what is important things to make a good design at the end. So we don't, we try to make those kind of things together as a designer developer. So try to merging it together. So from the beginning, nobody teaching us how to develop the finances side. But we have that's why we have lots of meeting with the other person and the people to get the advice to lots of people. But we have a certain things. Sean is really great for the numbers. And then think about this is structure, kind of assuming this kind of structure, we can make it, and then testing the idea with the CPA or other person. So far it works. And then that's why we can learn lots of things and then share our small development process with other person to help to step on the new part of the development. That's why even not our friends, our consultant, structural engineer, MVP engineer, later on ask us to join our development right now. So it seems like they start to believing us. And then that's a good sign for us for the future, I think.
Yes, and then to add one more thing to Greg's question, another thing is our design is quite really challenging because, you know, just we are developing center of Los Angeles, dominated by gigantic developer with amazing amenity, pool and massage, amazing gym, but we don't have it at all. So how to attract young people? So our design is really something different. I'm not talking about only exterior, because we always back and forth, what kind of design should have, what is the layer, what should be, how to attract young people. So that is, we got lots of lessons through that, because every project, we took all the risk in terms of finance. If leasing doesn't go well, how can I say to my equity partner, right? So that is another important part of being development. So for example, Mariposa, 7-unit small apartment, it hit the record last year. There is a multiplier number, especially in Los Angeles, there is a multiplier number. For example, if you have gross income, yearly gross income, let's say 100, there is a multiplier, it's going to be 15 or 16. That is the market price for apartment. I'm not talking rent control apartment, the brand new apartment. But our development, it hit the record in 21. It hit the record. The thing is, there is no amenity at all, 7-unit apartment. There is a lot mix of a small studio. But during pandemic, we don't have any rent issue. Most tenant, many young people, they living there for a long time. So one day I went there asking them, why do you live here? Because it's a small apartment, there is a cross street, there is a bunch of good apartment. And then we got a lot of good feedback, and we realized that what is really important matter for them, because their experience, instead of looking at nice gym, they really looking at the living quality when you enter space, from the parking to the unit, and then when you enter unit, what kind of city, something like that way. So that is really another our weapon to persuade the client, because every development, different unit layer, different story, different target, and latest project Rampart located in the Filipino town. So 70% of tenant is IT and the building industry. And then we put the studio with the two bathroom with a really gigantic layout to compete with another apartment. So it became really successful leasing. So I think that is really a thing. And then even though we don't get great award as development, but we can have a good award to speak our voice to our client. So that is another great thing as a developer.
What I'm kind of hearing is that you essentially, through the stewardship of these buildings, conduct post-occupancy evaluations in a somewhat informal sense, and then that informs your next design, so that you don't just keep throwing a list of what the market, and I'm putting this in scare quotes, the market tells you the amenities that you have to have, because I think that's how a lot of developers approach it. They just say, well, you've got to have a pool, you've got to have a golf room, you've got to have a TV room, you know, that has a TV that's 80 inches because that's what the market wants. But they don't think at all about the layout of the apartments, which is the most important thing. That's the architecture. Just the list of amenities is, you know, yes, it can be executed well or poorly by the architects, but that's not really the architecture. It's how are you going to occupy the space? And so it seems like the advantage you have as architect developers is A, you know, relatively small buildings in terms of number of units, B, the fact that you walk the site and you talk to people and you actually get feedback on what they really want, not what an REIT wants.
Yes, I think that's correct. So Hegi, do you want to say something to Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, this really great. We learning from the client too, and then they want to be, I mean, they know the small apartment is more cozy and more, in a way, they're secure because only few people live there. And even though amenity is not there, but we try to design more healthy feeling because of the how you deal with the stairs, openable, and from how they arrive and get through the corridor, get into room. So we design how they experience through that. It's not the stuffy feeling. It's more open. It's more healthy feeling. So that kind of things more make a satisfaction. So that's maybe most of the architect want to focusing on. We also focusing on how they navigate their life from the parking lot, from their room, and everyday life, and how to see their landscape. So, and landscape is real kind of big part of our design scope too. So make their pride. A small project is unique boutique, but they make up enough pride to live there, to have enjoying it. Even though they know the small project, they can have a gym outside, more friendly manner. So they had a walkable space is more important to make a good success project.
Yeah, correct. So I think there is actually a good architect who doing the museum or gallery. They design everything from entrance to this. We are doing same way. What is the experience while waiting for the gate to open? What can I see when you enter the parking space? How can go? What is the experience after parking to unit? So that is another important element when we design apartment. Of course, Daniel, I love to have a fancy food as well. I mean, don't get long us that so Hegi doing another big project right now, the 160 and 153 mixed use condo on the center of Olympic Boulevard. We have a that kind of infinity pool, I say. So definitely depends on buzzing. If that's a kind of big enough, definitely be really into that. But the smart project, we always doing something as how to attract people. And then instead of generalized tenant, we specifically focus on one tenant. For example, I think I don't know if this is a good way to phrase. So let's say there is a family sedan, right? There is a really expensive or luxury or Lamborghini, Ferrari, something like that. We are doing a little bit more affordable, the entry Lexus kind of, I don't know, just don't get me wrong, Acura, something like that. So that is our position, doing that for small project. And then we try to make many units can be prime unit. Because for another good example, Hegi did for St. Andrew apartment. So typically many apartment facing adjacent neighbor, which means more than 50 unit, they facing ugly wall, right? No matter what, any big development, you can see that St. Andrew only, I think 15% of a total unit facing adjacent neighbor. We just reverse whole building to figure it out, the elevator or something like that. Of course, structure haters there. Why your column is not lined up there? Because we have to maximize the parking and elevator issue. So St. Andrew, that was in terms of the floor plan is quite promising. It was really turns out successful. Right? And then another project, Catalina apartment, is a similar way. We try to provide a good feeling tenant, because most, if you go to the big development apartment, there's a vacancy really high, because most unit, that kind of vacant late unit is just facing only neighborhood, right? Or facing each other. So we try to make each unit has a view as much as we can.
But also, it sounds like you're preserving, you know, the principles of design about admitting light and having, you know, light on more than one side, and some of these principles that sometimes get lost when you're living in what is essentially an equation. I guess I have a question about, would you say that as co-developers or as investors in your own projects, that you avoid the whole situation of value engineering, or when does that discussion come into place? Because for an architect who has a traditional client, the worst thing is when it's like, you know, halfway through design documents and it's like, oh, we need to take something out.
Yeah, I have something to talk about the value engineering. People think the value engineering is cost down the construction cost, but if you think about the what make a value later on, that is another story. Because of the when you think about the, you can change the little bit cheaper material, you can bring down the construction cost, or you can make, I mean, a structurally more wise way to line up the older building to successfully for the structure, the beam location. That's we always need to doing it, but sometimes we more focusing on this one is better to be put the money, and later on people really see the value of their life. I mean, they can imagine their lives more. They're picturing more easily their life, and then make a rent. They can easily more get a sign a contract for the rent. So in that sense, we can make a backflash more fine, looks trendy, the good airy feeling of this. And that is a value engineering for us for infrastructure in the long term. You can make a, because of the, we can think about as a developer, if it's an architect, we might not stop thinking about it, but if you're the developer, we can think about management as well, the renting for. It's more important how reducing the vacancy rate, how people attract to easily get onto the renting instead of just build the building, cost down the financial ways. I mean, that's important things, but in a way, we can think about it a little bit more long-term and the value engineering, what we need to invest in money. That's more important things to do. Of course, we always put the cheaper not cheaper, it's a more economical, efficient way to using it. But at the same time, what make people attractive, more life easier, and those kind of things. Also think about not just only the number-wise to reduce the number. That's what the value engineering for me.
Yes, he always put a nice way, but there is always a dot way during them. So during construction, because we are doing develop. Also, I think another tour, I don't know, Daniel asked, Greg asked why the reason being the GC. Not being GC is also good because you can get lots of opinion from good GC because they know that we don't work one exclusive GC and then that process is really important to them. So all these days, we engage with the few general contract to their feedback as well. So we change the design a lot at the beginning. And also we check all the material to a supply company directly. We manage them. So that kind of way, we value engineering at the beginning. And after that, once we submit the first plan check set, even though it is not complete CD set, we get a free bid and we revising all the kind of alternative way. For example, it should be the nice tile on the podium, or it should be maybe just a color concrete, that kind of way. So we always doing that way. But that is, we doing the both way. So our office is not efficient in terms of the making profit because we change a lot. But this is why you're doing that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for spending the time with us today. It's Anmore Partners, Heggy Kang, and Sean Mo. And this is Unfrozen.
Daniel, Greg, thank you for having us. I mean, really pleasure sharing our experience with you guys. So take me where you want to. May my heart just steal.